this boat into the water. Find a way to win a couple dollars. Weatherman says it's a cold front coming down. Bring it on, I've seen it all by now. I can catch some shallow, I can catch some deep. Open water or the back of the creek. The wind and rain to me, it's all the same. I make a living playing this game, and I thank the Lord above every time I can. I get to be a fisherman.
Welcome back to the second half of this morning's Gone Outdoors. Kyle Agri and Scott Brewer of Brewer Agri Outdoors. We are here talking fishing, talking hunting, and talking anything we can do outdoors on KWSN Sioux Falls and the mighty 790 KFGO Fargo. We want to welcome a good friend of ours from down in the Lake Oahe region, Mr. Chad Schilling of Oahe Wings and Walleyes. And it's always good to talk to Chad and find out how the walleyes are biting down there in South Dakota. Chad, welcome to Gone Outdoors.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So what has the spring brought you folks down in Oahe? Because I got a feeling if it's anything like it was up here, which I'm pretty sure it was, you got an early jump on chasing those walleyes.
You know, we sure did. I put the boat in early March, and that first trip is always, I bought Ron Linders and Al Linders' old Alaskan fishing boat, I don't know, quite a few years ago. And we always seem to think it's fun to get stuck behind an ice jam every year and have to bust ice. Well, we got the right day this year, our first day out, and we didn't have to bust any ice, but we were avoiding big chunks of it. And you can always kind of say you're the first guy out when you go and do stupid stuff like we like to. But that was early March. I'm not sure if it was the 8th or what day exactly. But we started out hoping we'd get a bite, and I think we had our limit of nice little males in the first 2 hours. So it was a pleasant surprise.
You know, Chad, one question I have for you is, right now, with how dry it's been and how dry of a winter we've had, I assume that the water level is down a little bit. And, you know, what's the conditions there as far as the water levels? And does that really affect navigation at all on there? I would assume not a whole lot, but it might a little bit. And does it affect fishing a lot?
That's the awesome thing about Oahe. Every year is different. You know, you never know what your water levels are going to do and where the fish are going to be. So it's a new adventure every time. But we did start, I would say, I mean, this is just a rough guess. Somebody will call me out on this, but we're probably 10 feet lower than we were last year at this time. And that doesn't make a big difference on Oahe. The ramps are all still in pretty good shape. Navigation, the trees are really few and far between. You just don't see them anymore. When the water goes down, we used to always have the old cottonwoods come out. And so that far, it just hasn't changed the navigation or the safety aspect of it in any way, shape, or form. The one thing that was weird with no runoff, we actually had a pretty nice, you know, when the ice went out, the clarity was crazy that first few weeks. I mean, we were talking 15 to 20 foot of clarity, and I've never seen that in my life out of a boat on Oahe. As you guys know, and everyone that has been anywhere remotely close to us, the wind took care of that clarity issue for us in a pretty quick hurry. It stirred it up. It's, you know, most time this time of year when the water goes out, the runoff is so severe that it muds up and it's hard to catch anything. We still have, back in the tributary, still have 2 to 2.5 feet of clarity, which is amazing. Any other year, this year, that's losing 15 feet, you know, but yeah, it's a different year in that aspect. When we first got out there, I was glad we found little males because they were really deep. They were in that 40 to 50 foot of water, and pretty much what you caught, you were going to keep anyway. In the last 2 weeks, they've moved up. I've caught quite a few fish pitching shallow, a lot of fish in that 14 to 20 foot range, which has been a blessing.
Chad, you know, Lake Oahe being a reservoir on the Missouri River, Lake Oahe is a big, big body of water. It stretches for many miles. When you're talking the areas of the lake that you concentrate on, the areas you guide on, the areas you're bringing your clients to, just in a general sense, what part of the lake is that?
I'm south of Mobridge for 95% of my fishing in the Moro River, the mouth of the Moro River and Swan Creek. I don't know how many days. I don't even want to guess anymore how many days I spend on the water. I would say I don't leave that area more than about 15 times to 20 times a year. It's a lot of days. I mean, I get a day off now, I'm still out there. So you can pretty much focus in that area. As the history goes on Oahe, anywhere you're near a tributary, you have resident fish, you get your migratory fish stop, you know, on the mouths of them tributaries and kind of pile up. So you always have the resident fish, and then you constantly have an influx of different fish coming through the system. So,
you know, Chad, with you fishing the tributaries, and again, with the lack of runoff this year, are the fish more spread out than they normally would be this time of year? Granted, this time of year, a lot of people aren't fishing yet.
Yeah, it's a way different year. Our numbers aren't the same. I mean, again, what I've just said about Oahe changing so much, we don't have the numbers we had, you know, 15 years ago when they gave you the huge limits and the huge slot limits. There was a time it was 14, not slot limits, but possession limits. There was a time there was 14 fish per angler out there. Four now is, you know, it's a reasonable number. It's not 100 fish days anymore. The thing that's changed, and I mean, you hear that and it doesn't sound that great, but we're getting giant walleyes. I mean, I'm already up. I've had 8 over the 8-pound mark already this year. A couple didn't quite touch the 12-pound mark, but big fish. You know, Oahe hasn't heard of them size fish for a long time, and it's not such an uncommon thing now. It's actually pretty much count on one every day.
Well, it sounds like I need to be making a trip to the Oahe Reservoir because I'll tell you what, you know, there's always those times when it's fun to catch a lot of fish, right? Nothing denying that, but the opportunity to catch a fish of the caliber you just explained is pretty special. It doesn't happen in every body of water, and that definitely would be a draw to bring in the boat or just coming out and hiring yourself or someone like you as a guide to who might know how to get to those fish. What kind of tactics are you using this time of the year, Chad, to put those fish in the boat?
So it's always, you know, this time of year when you first get out there, I've had the lifelong question of I smash them through the ice on a jigging wrap or the pro jig from Pro Tackle, and then the water breaks open and I can't make one eat one for the first month and a half. I don't know. I can't explain that. It's something that keeps me up at night. Somebody's got to explain that to me. But we go right away to this year. It hasn't had to be like a 16th ounce jig or an 8th ounce jig. We're still throwing a quarter, but we've been fairly deep. And mono. Mono is, for a lot of years there, I didn't think you ever needed to use anything but super lines. Well, this time of year, that mono, them fish are finicky. They feel you and they dump it. So we switched over to that 6-pound, 4-pound mono. I prefer the Sunline. There's all kinds of different ones out there, but something that's high visible. We always say you don't have to feel a bite. You just got to believe it was there. When they pick it up, you reel down and you stick them, and everything's slower. You know, they're not on this right after the spawn. They'll smash anything. You can throw a plastic. You can do anything, but right now, you got to slow things down. Anybody trolling around out there fast is going to have a long day.
So, Chad, when you use a high-vis line and you're jigging, do you need to use a fluorocarbon leader, or doesn't it really matter?
You know, it depends on how much of a hurry I'm in that day. I always start with it. And if I'm not catching them, I always go back to it. It seems like when they're biting, I don't know that I notice that big of a difference. But as soon as it slows down, it's the first thing that I change. I go back to a fluorocarbon leader and a couple of feet, you know, usually with all the low clarity. Earlier when we started this year, I was using an 8 to 10 foot, using the uni knot and making a long lead. But now that our water's back to its normal condition of about 1.5 to 2 feet, I'm back to that shorter leader, 2 or 3 foot, just nice for dealing with.
Chad, we're up against the clock here, but I do have another quick question for you real quick. When you made that switch from a super line to a mono, of course, you're going from a line that has no stretch to something that has, right? I mean, and that's, yep. As you explained, that's really the advantage of making that switch over. Do you make any adaptations on the rod, or are you using the same rod and reel setup?
Still like my 6.6 to a 7, you know, 2. I prefer a little bit longer rod than I guess it used to be a strange thing. Now everybody seems to be in that length. When I have to go to the mono, I tend to use a little bit faster tip. And I really, when I do know they're there, you pick it up, you feel them. I reel down on slack and I bill dance them, man. I stick them once I do set the hook, because you got to get that stretch out and get them, you know, get that hook buried. So
that's great advice. You know, not letting that fish know you're there, but then being able to make the adaptation to get that hook driven in on the hook set. And that's a perfect explanation. Folks, we've got Chad Schilling here, Oahe Wings and Walleyes. And just as we wrap up, Chad, if folks are thinking about a trip out your direction and they're looking for a guide, how can they look you up?
OahiWings.com. It's real simple. My wife, Shonda, you won't meet a nicer person. She will she's probably gets tired of listening to me talk fishing all day long every day, so she can answer most everybody's questions. She knows our business in and out, thank goodness, because all I do is the fun part. And she will answer all your questions and do all the bookings. And look her up online. Like I said, HawaiiWings.com. We're easy to find.
That is fantastic. Thank you, Chad, for spending some time with us this morning.
Have a great day, guys.
Folks, stick around. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with more Gone Outdoors. Get some shallow, I can get some deep. Open water or the back of the creek.